Before we launch into part two of banks and fintech on platform economies with author Paolo Cerrone, I want to remind you first, there's a copy up for grabs on the innovationshow.io newsletter. And second, to thank our sponsors, Zai, boldly transforming the future of financial services with a suite of embedded products and services, enabling businesses to manage multiple payment workflows and move funds with ease. You can find Zai at hellozai.com. Let's get into the BRQ, Banking Reinvention Quadrant, with Paolo Cerrone. Now, back with number one in the banking section in Amazon is our guest, Paolo Cerrone. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks for hosting me again for this second conversation.
Back by popular demand, by the way. We got so many emails, so many people in our audience listen to our workers in banks. They work in innovation labs. They work in change management within banks. And so many emailed. And your book was up for grabs in our newsletter back then. So I have a second copy because it was so popular as well.
I'm so very pleased that people are dedicating their time to read and study, and they reach out for the conversations. It's truly fulfilling.
And I'm glad to be sharing your work. I thought today we talked about a lot of the challenges before, but the way I'm going to tee this up is how you do it beautifully, is that when you're on the sea of disruption, when there's waves battering your ship, you need both a compass and a map. And in the book, you offer the map, which is the BRQ, the Banking Reinvention Quadrant. And I thought what I'd do, if it's okay with you, is share the quadrant on the screen, and then maybe you'll talk over it, and we'll share this as a map, just because this really brings all the work together. And so that was one thing. And then the other thing was, just to tee it up, is that you talk about three periods of time that were really feeding up to this work, that fed your work as well, that there was these three specific periods of time leading right up to recent years, and the difference in those periods of times. Maybe we'll start with that and then go into the BRQ.
That you refer to my personal experience in terms of leaving university in the mid-90s and starting up my career. And at the time, after I studied business economics, I became the head of quantitative risk management for investment banks. And that was my first period of life. And I think it's reflected in a lot of my research, because doing risk management in the 1990s enabled to see everything in the financial institutions, from capital markets to client relationships in credit or retail. And I describe this time like the journey of Dante Alighieri in the Divine Comedy, as he started in hell, because laughing about that, I say there is all the sins of the financial system, and even those that you haven't seen yet, I saw them already. So it was a complex but very fruitful time where I had to reflect upon what is financial innovation that was primarily centered around algorithms, mathematics, and financial products, and what is instead the necessity of clients, especially after the reflection points of the global financial crisis. So the risk management perspective is really central to my discussions around the digitization of financial services. In the end, even AI is an algorithm. So you can see the parallels. Then after these 12 or 13 years of experience, I entered into the second phase of my professional life. That is about entrepreneurship. That is the purgatory of the Dante Alighieri's journey, because I founded a new company in Germany with the bank as a partner, to basically work on capital markets capabilities to improve the quality of the work done in front of wealth management clients, basically transforming the engines of the wealth management relationship that had to become more and more digital and added value. And it is purgatory, because when you are an entrepreneur, you make a lot of mistakes, you get hit left and right. It's a deep learning experience, but in the end, you know that you will go somewhere, right? Because you really made an effort and a personal effort. So it's an interesting journey, which is unbeatable in terms of the valid experience. And that takes us into my third journey, which is like Dante Alighieri entering heaven. I got into the heaven of exponential technologies. IBM bought my startup in 2013. So I started working for IBM globally. And now I am the global research leader in banking and financial markets. That means I coordinated the business research and point of view of IBM through the Institute of Business Value, which is our thought leadership center. However, as much as Dante went from hell through purgatory into heaven in his search and discovered himself even more than the existence of God, I think that was equally similar for me, because at the center of my research and personal motivation is always the real way of consuming financial services by human beings, and the understanding of the way humans relate to the financial problem to make sure that digital innovation conforms with the deeper needs of society. And therefore, as I started writing my literature in this third phase of my life, and Banks and FinTech on Platform Economies is my fifth book and so far the most successful and acclaimed bestseller, I really connected the dots between renewed foundations of the financial system in terms of behavioral economics and the role of digital technology to either create new value or unlock hidden value by leveraging the theory and the practice of platform economies to make sure that we enter into a sustained transformation of financial services, which is truly added value.
I think that's one of the reasons this book has been so popular as well, Paolo, because you deeply understand through personal experience how difficult it can be from every side, and that perspective from each side. And that leads us nicely to the BRQ and to the map to be able to navigate these turbulent times, these turbulent waters, because it ain't easy. You know, I have a lot of empathy for people working in incumbent organizations and legacy organizations like banks, because there's a lot of change coming at people and they feel sometimes restricted by regulation and by the shackles of regulation as well. So having a map and having a common language like this is so, so useful. So maybe you'll bring our audience through the BRQ.
Yes, and I can say before introducing formally the BRQ that this book contains two things, theory and practice. Positive theory, that means something that explains the underlying forces, but also leads into a business model definition and examples around those business models that I verified and seen throughout my professional life, especially the most recent years of engagement inside the fintech ecosystem and the many journeys of banks leaning into digital transformation. Now, as much as you need to change theory if you decide to produce energy with a nuclear plant instead of using a carbon plant, because your theory would be wrong, banks are faced with so deep transformation that they require a new theory of the functioning of the financial system to make sure that they can box out from today's conundrum and lead into a sustainability in terms of economic perspective of new business models that really meant the problem of very low return on equities, very complex and high cost income ratios in a world of declining margins. And therefore, this book is basically giving you the combination of two things. So the new theory required and the business models that conform with this new theory, which are emerging in essence. And you see what keeps bankers at bay is the fact that it's difficult to leave a branch before you grab another one. So you need to make sure that you understand the dynamics, right? The theory around jumping from one into the other. And then you need to know exactly where is this new branch that basically you need to grab. And this is explained in this book.
So I'm going to share on the screen the BRQ, the Banking Reinvention Quadrant, this map to be able to navigate change. Paolo is going to kindly speak to it so we're able to navigate it together. So over to you, Paolo.
Okay, so let me say which is the theoretical foundation of this quadrant and also the practical inspiration of is, first of all, the European Central Bank published a very interesting paper titled Financial Intermediation with Technology, What's Old and What's New, that basically explains that banks, so fintech, exert market power if they excel in information and communication. So we need to understand what is information and communication, which I made the two axes of this bank innovation quadrant. And mind that this is very important. I'm contributing to the European Supervisory Digital Finance Academy that is basically was opened a few weeks ago by Arnaud Booth, who is the author of that research paper. And then I continue in the conversation because I bring to life that piece of research from the ECB research unit. Now, information is everything that is contained in the core banking of a financial institution. You can think about payments through the transactions and credit information around the client, which is needed for the creditworthiness assessment of clients, individuals and corporate. Now, the ECB recognizes that particularly for European environments dominated by low interest rate environments and now even higher inflation than the interest rates that is growing and very high cost of capital, is complex for banks to generate value for shareholders, leveraging information inside the banking charter, because after the price for risk, no match remains on the bonds. Reason why the return on equity is the lowest across all jurisdictions worldwide, maybe paired only by the Japanese banks. So now that forces banks more than anywhere else in the world to open up their data coffers, moving from constrained product and services definitions into ecosystems, closed and then open ecosystems, basically using banking as a service infrastructure to excel through open banking and open finance by making that information available to external third parties that can basically leverage it to eliminate the friction in their ecosystem. So basically, by doing so, you start moving up in the bank innovation quadrant, intensifying the information quotient. On the other side, the ECB researchers also recognize that communication is very important. Actually, this is becoming even more important than information to define the income statement of banks. And that is about interfaces, which are typical human interfaces. So those interfaces allow to position all the type of products, those which are more asymmetrical and complex, to be consumed by clients, which are investment products, for example, and insurance contracts. So now, as you intensify the information quotient, you have a problem because the embedded fee inside these products is reducing over time as much as the interest rate margins are going down because of the complex macroeconomic conditions. In this case, you can think about passive investing, which is delivered for much cheaper prices compared to the active investing, or you can think about regulation through transparency, which is basically squeezing progressively the embedded commissions. So then there is to be an effort in order to demonstrate value for the clients that allows bankers to start asking clients to pay differently for the relationship, which become an access fee to the trusted advisory platform. So now you are moving from a distribution channel of products type of definition, becoming, first of all, a data-driven distribution type of approach, and then leading into transparent intelligence where the customers are capable of effectively directing themselves. And that is the journey of the intensification of the communication quotient. Now, two things happen. You need technology to intensify these quotients. On the one side, you need hybrid cloud in order to connect the points securely around the data that are shared across open ecosystems in order to generate more value for clients. On the other side, you may need, in particular, artificial intelligence to enable the communication layer to be accessed for lower prices to a broader community of clients, not to be restricted only to the ultra high net worth. And then you see that as you plug in hybrid cloud for secure data interactions and artificial intelligence in a way that you have a factory perspective around those technology elements, intelligent automation will enable you to start moving along the line with new business models at a cheaper cost, so healthier cost-stake operations, leading into two value spaces, which are defined as the contextual banking and the conscious banking platform strategies that reside in the top right side of this bank innovation quadrant, which is in essence a business value quadrant. So the attempt of this one is to connect the dots in a simple way to make you reflect around the key characteristics of the strategic approach that underpins the business models and the platform economies and the investments in technology that enable you to make those strategies reachable, because of course that cannot happen without digital technology. To conclude, the theoretical perspective, part of which I reflected into this ECB work, information communication, also pair a request by a real bank a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, to discuss the first conceptualization of my bank innovation quadrant and make it public as it was published in Chinese in 2020. There is basically a request by the board of Shanghai Pudong Development Bank. One of the discussions there were, how can a bank compete with Alibaba and Tencent as they're already dominant in the connection with the retail clients? So everybody thought of super apps and platform economies in terms of building volumes. And I'm saying, yes, that is still feasible, but it's very complex to compete on volumes with giants like WeChat or Alipay. You can imagine now competing with Alibaba, for example, in the Western world. So then I've been advocating for a rethinking of the problem, trying to understand how to leverage platform economies to generate value. And basically, the Bank Innovation Quadrant tries to set the tone to answer that question, so that now you have a better tension between volume and value in the definition of your key targets and the strategic components of your transformation journey, that adds, if you like, to existing narratives which are faulted in many respects, because A, they don't understand the way real client consume financial services. B, they don't reflect on the mechanics underlying the transformation from linear businesses to platform businesses, which are those excelling on digital economies. D, they are not anchored to a consistent theory, which is, in this case, the financial market transparency theory that I articulated a few years ago and launched in North Davos during the World Economic Forum in 2019, that basically is the compass that enables you to navigate this bank innovation quadrant facing uncharted waters by leading you to the shore of more sustainable and added value business models and platform economies.
Beautiful, Paolo. I was thinking about how, just as you use the analogy of this as a compass and a map, and this is helping you navigate your ship, that your ship in a way is like a Noah's Ark. It will become a Noah's Ark in a way, because it will contain lots of different types of neurodiversity. And you talk about the importance of this kind of mix of different skill sets within the bank of the future, but also that it will also contain different species. So it will mean collaboration with startups and fintechs, etc., within the bank as the kind of main anchor of the organization of the future, of the bank of the future. Maybe you have some thoughts on that to conclude today.
There is an important shift, which is about openness. You will find a variety of discussions inside this new book about the concept of openness. One clearly is about the fact that the ecosystem is out there with value, and that value, in order to be generated and accessed, needs to be orchestrated. So now, one problem that we see today in the open banking and open finance world is that people assumed that open banking or open finance is just about making products available for somebody else's consumption. But they completely misunderstood the fact that the real shift in platform economies is a shift from outputs, which are consumption of quantities products, to outcomes, which is instead about the engaging experience to go somewhere in terms of fulfilling one's needs, decisions, and ambitions. Now, when you move from output to outcome, something happened that is very difficult to control the whole outcome of an individual or a company because they require a variety of different things. So immediately you see the benefits of the contribution of a variety of players in order to orchestrate the journey. But you need somebody with a deep understanding that orchestrating the journey is not about building a marketplace for product consumption in order to see the value of that ecosystem orchestration to be realized in terms of adding to the client and therefore being rewarded for client engagement. In essence, the complexity here is that the remuneration shift out of the individual products and it basically resides into the overall platform engagement. So the way entrepreneurs within the bank and outside the bank need to think is not about justifying the investment in terms of the consumption layers and the transactional points that maybe at the very beginning can make a bit more sense, but then will fade very fast. So they need to think about the orchestration of the platform economy with the whole ecosystem. And there I can say, I'm seeing some relevant shifts also made by IBM clients. We've been working with key banks in terms of the creation of platforms for the orchestration of ecosystem, for example, an AgriFarm platform with the largest bank in Latin America. The key problem there, of course, is to aligning all of the incentives around your ecosystem of partners and fintechs to contribute the right way. Now, I do believe that this world provides an important mindset to understand all of these intricacies so that people can start with the right mindset, avoiding common pitfalls that I've been seeing banks making in the last few years, therefore accelerating their capability to shift into the outcome economy enabled by ecosystem platforms.
I think that's such the value of a consultant that is often not seen, is that consultants, when they have the scar tissue like you do, and that you are seeing the cutting edge technology, you can save organizations making all the mistakes that will cost them a fortune and waste time, more importantly, as well, because time is of the essence with this change as well, because we will see banks move faster than others, and that legacy mindset can hold people back. And that's why I think this is such a popular book, and your most popular so far of all that you've written, Paolo, as well. Last question is, where can people find you to find out more about your work, find out about keynotes, etc.?
A couple of opportunities. First of all, my personal website, thepcironi.com, like the Financial Times. On thepcironi.com, you find the links to my material and some examples of my worldwide engagements. I also invite everyone to reach out on LinkedIn, where I have public conversations continuously. I'm very fresh and open to discuss that, because the more we talk, the more we enrich each other with new ideas and thinking. They can also visit my ibm.com/IBV page together with my IBV colleagues, where they can find the latest and the best of the IBV research within the IBM capacity. And of course, the book is on Amazon.
Fantastic. Another platform, Paolo. It's always great to share time with you and learn from you. I highly recommend this book. We have got through so little of it, just to show you how much content and knowledge is in the book. Author of Banks and Fintech on Platform Economies, Contextual and Conscious Banking, Paolo Cironi, the Paolo Cironi. Thank you for joining us.
Arrivederci.
Nice one, man. Perfect. I hope you enjoyed part two. It was a briefer episode. Paolo is a difficult man to get and full of insights. The book is full of so much great knowledge. You can win a copy of the book on the innovationshow.io newsletter. And I want to finally thank our sponsor, Zai, boldly transforming the future of financial services with a suite of embedded products and services, enabling businesses to manage multiple payment workflows and move funds with ease. You can find Zai at hellozai.com.